Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me, taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We got some exciting young players that are going to help lead us back. We're going to continue to recruit and develop and bring in the type of players that will bring UConn back. People better get us now. That's all. You better get us now because it's coming.
Leaky Black, the Allen College Basketball Podcast, is presented by Jersey Mike's. Jersey Mike's, a sub above. Matt Norlander is here with me, and Dan Hurley, he tried to tell us. Now the 2023-24 college basketball season, it's in the books, and it's a lot like last season. UConn is your national champion. Dan Hurley's Huskies once again made it look easy. Final score, UConn 75, Purdue 60. The Huskies never trailed by more than two, led by as many as 18, won the game by 15. So UConn, they're back-to-back national champs, the first of this sport since Florida, 2006-2007. You know all the basics, and the Huskies have now won 12 straight NCAA tournament games by at least 13 points, which is outrageous. Norlander, we got a lot to get to, but first, just your thoughts on what we watched Monday night inside State Farm Stadium, where you are still courtside.
I am courtside. Here, a lot of places we can go, but I do want to start on this, and I didn't really express this in the column, but I honestly, if we had gone back to a year ago and really at any point, I really wondered if we'd ever see or if I'd ever get to cover a team win back-to-back national championships. I had a lot of skepticism over that, and the fact that it not only has happened, but it's not like we have seen, I mean, it's been a year since we did this pod, GP, and I remember vividly doing this show with you a year ago at the stadium, just like this, you back at the hotel, and sitting in such wonderment and amazement at over what UConn had done, okay? This year's UConn team was even better, and this tournament strut was even better. Last year won six tournament games by an average of 20 points. This one was north of 23. So not only do we get back-to-back national champion, we get one that has done it and made dominant basketball, in my opinion, looked damn beautiful with how they played. And I get it. There was a little bit of like, okay, can we get a championship team that actually gets a sweat here? And I get it. But because of that, to me, the thesis of my column is twofold. This is one of the best teams of the modern era. And that was proven in the data where it won its six games by a combined 140 points. That's the most in the history of the tournament. And now UConn, last year it was, it's a blue blood. You'll notice that conversation gone this year because it was cemented. This wasn't about being a blue blood. This is about being a dynasty. Two in a row in this era, you are a dynasty. Because I don't know, and maybe Dan Hurley thinks they can win three in a row, and hell, who am I to doubt him? But if you can do two in a row here, who knows when we might ever see this again? We had to wait 17 years to see UConn do it after Florida. If you told me it was decades before another program was capable of doing this, I would believe you, because it's only going to get harder, not easier, to win back-to-back titles.
And I think Dan made this point after the game. We had made this point in recent weeks. You were constantly going to hear UConn and Florida in the same sentence, because if UConn did what UConn just did, it would become the first back-to-back champion since Billy Donovan's Florida Gators. But as Dan pointed out, and we had made it clear in recent episodes, this ain't that. You know, Billy Donovan won a national championship with Torian Green and Lee Humphrey and Corey Brewer and Al Horford and Joakim Noah and Walter Hodge and Chris Richard. Those were your top seven. Awesome team, awesome accomplishment, and then they all came back and they did it again. It is awesome, but it's different than UConn. UConn, they lose three of their top six from last season's national championship team, including two NBA draft picks, including the most outstanding player of the Final Four, and they reload and go through this NCAA tournament in a more convincing way, I think, than they went through last season's NCAA tournament, if only because at the end of it, they ended up having to play what hilariously Dan Hurley called the second-best team in the country afterwards, and they just ran them completely off the store, the way the floor, rather, the way so many predicted. I love the way Dan put that. The confidence with which he speaks, I can appreciate. I don't find it off-putting at all. I love it. And when he says, you know, Tracy Wolfson asked him, what was your message to your team in the locker room before the game? And he said, we're the best team in the country. They're the second best team in the country. So let's just go be the best team in the country. I'm paraphrasing here, but it was like he had already assigned roles. We know who we are. Now let's go be who we are. And they went out and they performed, man. And I know listeners of this podcast have heard me contrast and compare UConn and Purdue all season long. Resume, quad one wins, all of that stuff. And yes, it is true. I did pick Purdue.
Yes, it is. There it is. 5.5 minutes into the show, he finally, you knew it too, didn't you, GP?
Knew what?
Keep on going. You just knew in your heart of hearts. You're 60% Boilermaker, but you knew. You knew you were going down the wrong path. It was a loyal path, but it was the wrong path.
You and I talked about it on the Ion College back. Hey, you know we already did one of these earlier today on TV.
Oh, I'm aware.
Oh, yeah. Hey, where are you going to be at 9 a.m. Pacific in the morning?
Flying. I will be in the air heading back to Connecticut. Thank you.
Well, guess where I'll be? Right here, doing it again. Doing it all again. Saying all the same stuff, just in a more concise way with more commercial breaks. With Cal Boone. Shouts to Strong Job. We talked about it on the show we did earlier today. All jokes aside, I said, listen, I'm not ignorant to this stuff. Like, you're not going to be able to tell me anything I don't know about UConn or Purdue. All right? UConn is more efficient than Purdue on offense, on defense. They've got more future NBA players than Purdue. They're bigger at every guard position. They're more athletic in the backcourt. If you just take the fact, or at least the idea that I was 60% Boilermaker and set it aside, you know me. We've been talking about basketball for years now. I would never pick that team against that team in any other setting, but I did want to try to see it through. I didn't think it was crazy that Purdue could win the game. You know, it was competitive for the first half, but then UConn does what it does, which is continues to score and continues to execute. And eventually you're not going to be able to do it against them the way they can consistently do it against you. And that's how we get UConn up 18 and cruising to a second straight national championship.
It is. A little bit of game talk here. It was at least compelling early. Edie going off. Okay. Klingon overmatched early. We'll get to some of the flaws with Purdue, but let's just talk game stuff here. It felt amazing in the stadium for basically the entire first half because UConn did it again. I mean, it got a big run. It peeled away, and it was a good night, Irene, for Purdue. But it was a very entertaining first 20 minutes. I did think that Purdue had a chance because what I thought was going to happen, but what didn't happen was I thought Painter and those guards were going to be able to somehow maybe be able to scheme more three-point attempts and get some good three-point shots up to keep it close. It just didn't happen. Purdue only shot 7 three-point attempts in this game. It went 1 of 7 from beyond the arc. That was unthinkable to me before this game. And amid a litany of stats, the 1 of 7 three-point shooting to me is as strong a one from this game. By the way, Braden Smith had 8 assists. Not a single other player had a dime for Purdue in this game. Fletcher Loyer did not score. Smith had 12. Edie went for 37 and 10. It's the best performance in a losing effort in a title game in history, frankly. And because Newton was so good, I personally voted Tristan Newton most outstanding player. You saw a little bit of talk on social media about whether or not Edie would be able to get it in a losing effort. Had they lost a very, very close game and Edie had gone for 37 or maybe 40 in that instance, if he was able to get even more, I strongly would have considered it. There's no way I'm voting for a team or for a guy on the losing side there when the margin is 15 points. 75 to 60, UConn ho-hum, here we go again, wins another game by double digits and easily there. But a big credit to Luke Murray. I'm going to give him a huge shout out because Dan Hurley did as well. Assistant coach, he had the scout here. They had it down. I asked Hurley on HQ afterward if they were basically willing to sell out, let Edie be Edie and shut everyone down. He didn't say that was exactly the game plan, but as you look at the final stats, GP, that's precisely what happened there. They had 6 guys. Purdue did that. They tried to run at him between Kaufman, Wren, Smith, Loyer, Edie, Jones. Gillis got 24 points. But it just wasn't remotely enough. They did not have the offense, and UConn was well-oiled. If anything, the shocker was that Alex Caravan only had 5 points. Newton finished with 20. Castle had another good performance with 15 as a freshman. Cam Spencer and Klingon both had their moments. Klingon wound up getting in foul trouble. GP, it just didn't matter. The balance was tremendous, and UConn, yet again, not only does it win big here, but it gets its 37th win of the season, and going up against a Purdue team that shoots it so well, it was less than a point per possession. UConn, 1.23 points per possession, balanced all around. Wasn't the most dazzling victory you're ever going to see in a title game. It was just authoritative, signature, vintage UConn domination. A 12th, it is insane, Parrish, and take it away from here. A 12th consecutive NCAA tournament win by double digits, and now over a 2-year span, having had to play more games than the UCLA team with Lou Alcindor in the late 60s, it has the second greatest margin of victory over 2 tournaments ever, and no other team has more than 6 straight tournament wins of double figures. Bow before the Huskies. They are now the best program in the sport with the best coach in the sport, and this team, in my opinion, is one of the very best teams of the past 40 or so years in the sport.
Okay, so a couple things here. First, just in a literal sense, Zach Edey was the most outstanding player of the Final Four. Like, he just was. Like, that's undeniable. But people are going to always have a hard time giving that to somebody who's on the losing side of it, particularly when the winning side of it is such a dominant force and the winning side of it is a back-to-back national champion. I have no issue with Tristan Newton being the most outstanding player. It makes sense. But just if you don't care about the wins and losses aspect of it, there's no getting around it. Zach Edey was awesome. And I know – and you could see it on his face and hear it in his voice in the post game. He was upset, disappointed. But when he gets some distance between this moment and some of that hurt goes away, he'll be able to look back on this college experience finally. As has been well documented, he was an unheralded, basically afterthought recruit who developed into the best player in college basketball over the course of 2 years. And when he was put on a stage, not just deep into the NCAA tournament or in the Final Four, but ultimately in the championship game, against a guy who is the type of NBA center people say he's going to struggle with. Some people. Well, then he goes out and gets 37 and 10. Now, he did struggle with some stuff on the other end of the court, and that's ultimately what it's going to come down to for his NBA future. You know, it's not going to be on the offensive end as the issues as much as they're going to be on the defensive end, but he was fabulous in this tournament, fabulous for 2 years, fabulous in the Final Four and the championship game. He just, at the end of it, got beat by a better team that was better at every position other than the one Zach Edey played. On the only 7 three-point attempts, you and I had talked leading into this game about the fact that, Tristan Newton is bigger than than Braden Smith. And just UConn's perimeter-oriented players, broadly speaking, are bigger and more athletic than Purdue's. You know, I'm not sure UConn doesn't have three guards that might play in the NBA. I know they got two, and they might have three. Like, I can easily see Cam Spencer in the NBA. Can you?
Yeah, no, he's going to have a real shot here. With the competitive, the shooting, the coachability, he's tremendous. A lot of fun to interview him from HQ after the game as well. And I'll let you kind of keep taking it here, GP. But the coachability of the team overall, it's just something that, like, I've seen UConn play literally every single game since the start of the Big East tournament, and it's never been lost on me. The consistency, the accuracy, the scouting report. I just want to emphasize for our viewers and our listeners, it is not easy, not just to win the games like the way they won them, but they don't have lulls. Like, so that's why I keep circling back to this notion that what I watched here, I'm not going to take it for granted. And I do think that this UConn team is better than last year's. It's the best UConn team ever. And I don't think you can get to more than one hand, all digits on one hand, when we're talking about the best team since, certainly since expansion, but probably, Parrish, probably since the mid to late 70s, when you really stack it up and you really look at the data and see what they did and take into account the fact that they lost these players, it's phenomenal stuff. Keep it going, though, bud.
Okay. Sam Vecini just chimed in. Love Sam Vecini. He's among the smartest in the whole wide world about NBA draft prospects. He says Cam Spencer's an NBA player. I trust him. So that means UConn's got three future NBA guards and Purdue has zero, and they're all bigger than Purdue's guards. So we anticipated this would be a possible problem, if not an undeniable issue. Not to this extent, though. I want to put some specifics on it. 1 of 7 from three. Purdue entered the game as the second best three-point shooting team by percentage in the country, above 40%. Now, they don't shoot as many as Alabama, but they shoot more than seven literally every game. You ready for this? For 330 consecutive games. The last time Purdue didn't take at least 8 three-pointers in a game was, I guess, 331 games ago, because they just did 330 in a row before tonight, of at least 8 three-point attempts per game. And UConn just took it away. It wasn't like they had a bad shooting night. I mean, obviously it was a bad shooting night. 14.3% from three. That's a bad shooting night. But that wasn't even the main issue, that they shot 14%. The main issue is they couldn't even take them. They couldn't even get the shots. And I don't know if you saw Matt Painter's post-game interview. He said, I just thought their game plan was terrific, and they just took away our three-point attempts. They just took that away, and we couldn't get anything else anywhere else. And then he talked about in the second half, and this was obvious, like there were moments where Purdue was actually getting stops but couldn't get the rebound to finish the stop. And so now you have to play defense again, and it looked like they just got deflated a little bit down the stretch because they couldn't. It was one offensive rebound after another. And UConn's just relentless, man. They never stop. That's the thing. You can't beat them by playing 30 good minutes. You got to play them the whole time because they're not going to stop playing you the whole time. But I thought that was just a remarkable number. Shouts to Anthony Billis for feeding it to me in my ear. Before tonight, Purdue had played 330 consecutive games. 330 consecutive games, taking at least 8 three-pointers. Tonight, they only got 7 up, and their previous low in this particular season was 9. That, more than anything else, was the difference in the game. UConn took away something that Purdue needed to even have a shot to win this thing.
You know what, GP? I know we want to get at least one break in, and I know you got more. I have no idea what it's going to be, but in the interest of trying to get out of here with a 30-minute podcast, Nada's right over there.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit RobertHalf.com today.
CBS Friday, TV's hottest show is Fire Country.
I'm not a hero. I'm in orange for a reason.
They're taking 12 months off your sentence. You're free.
lady.
With a special epic season finale.
Now that I'm out, I need something to get me up in the morning.
You are a firefighter.
Used to be.
That will be unforgettable.
In the name of your life's happiness, go get your girl.
She's getting married tomorrow.
Says, when do you let anything get in the way of what you want?
The Fire Country season finale, Friday, 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
Okay, Norlander, you have said, I believe, multiple times now that you think UConn is either the best team of the past 40 years, one of the best teams of the modern era. I'll let you define it yourself, but it's interesting because we had a big disagreement on CBS Sports Network set tonight outside State Farm Stadium, mostly between Wally Szczerbiak and Steve Lapis. Britt Stover asked me something along the lines of, is this UConn team the most dominant team we've seen since those glorious UCLA teams under John Wooden? Now, that's a big window we're dealing with.
Yeah,
and the point I made was, listen, it's very difficult to compare basketball teams, college basketball teams from different generations, different eras, because obviously the sport changes, but beyond that, like the rules change and everything changes. And once upon a time, you might get a Lou Alcindor for 3 years, but you ain't never getting something like that done these days. So it's hard to compare. And I said, you know, but I'm not interested in arguing about it because I just watch UConn be dominant in its era. Dominant against its competition. And if you genuinely believe Purdue was the second best team in the country, and I do, well, then UConn just made light work of them. And, you know, and if they did it again tomorrow, it might go down the exact same way. I'm sure Matt Painter would make adjustments to account for what they were doing to take away these 3-point shots. But undeniably, you know, UConn was a favorite for a reason, and it came through in those 40 minutes. So if you want to call them whatever you want to call them, I'm not interested in arguing. But as Steve Lapis ultimately pointed out after Wally Szczerbiak said, yes, UConn is the most dominant team since those UCLA teams, Lapis points out, well, like, you know, once upon a time, Michael Jordan and James Worthy and Sam Perkins played together. You know, so let's slow down. Again, that's different eras, different generations. But I can say this, since I've been covering college basketball, and tonight was my 21st national championship game, I don't know that I've ever been more impressed by what any coach has done as much as I've been impressed by what Dan Hurley has done the past couple of years. It's one thing to build a national championship team. Quite literally, somebody does that every year. It's another thing to lose most of the good parts from that team and build an even better team overnight. When you're ready for this, nobody thought you actually did. We can all act like we saw this coming. We didn't. Yeah. Where did you have UConn in the preseason?
I had him 13th, and Dan Hurley reminded me of that early and often this season. I admitted I was wrong, and I don't know where, and I'm going to answer your – it's the longest setup for a question you've had in a while, GP. I'm going to answer in a second. I don't know what UConn's roster is going to look like, and I know you're saving the top 25 one stuff tomorrow with Boone on the pod, so we'll keep it there. But I'm telling you this, I don't care – who Hurley adds to his roster, I will have UConn in the top 10 regardless of it because the staff has earned the benefit of the doubt no matter who winds up being on that roster.
Same. I put him at 8 in the preseason top 25 and 1. And, like, you know, you got to write comments for everyone. And the comment is like, this is not the 8th best roster in the country. I don't even know if it's the 18th best roster in the country because it appears they're going to lose 4 of their top 5, right? I mean, bring back Alex Carabin, lose the other 4. And if you look at the roster right now, you'd go, okay, they got some nice pieces, but they're all role players. You know, they're just bringing back role players. That's all they're bringing back. But at what point do you just give somebody the benefit of the doubt who is operating at an incredibly historic level, doing things that are unprecedented, doing things in the way that he's doing it? For instance, again, we all watched him lose what he lost off last season's team. Then we watched him add to it, and we went, okay, maybe that's the third best team in the Big East. That's where they were picked. And as Dan pointed out last week, closer to fourth than third. Closer to fourth than second, I guess. And so
it's just awesome stuff all around. And I guess my way of getting through the top 25 and one this offseason is I'm going to start them at 8, and they're obviously going to get in the transfer portal. And I don't know why anybody would turn them down right now. And Dan did make it clear after the game, we have all the resources we need to get done, to get, you know, to do things in March and April. I imagine I'll start them at 8, and then they're going to start adding players. And when by the time we get to November, they'll be among the favorites to win the national championship again, and perhaps preseason number one. We'll see.
Okay. There was a question about 4.5 minutes ago, so I'm going to answer that one. Is UConn the best team in the past, like, four decades or so? No. Definitively no. But it is among the best. And that is what I'm putting in. We've got two different conversations here. UConn is a dynasty. Back-to-back championships with the dominance it's had and having different, drastically different rosters. If anything, that reinforces its dynastic appeal. By the way, I got the forklift over here. We might be getting some beep-up backups. Can't help that. What do you want from me? They're starting to break down the stadium. So there's the dynastic approach and viewpoint on UConn. Undeniable. And this one, this team is better than the Florida 06-07 team. I don't know if I would say that it's better than Duke 91-92, but obviously there's a compelling case to be made with all of that. From a KenPom standpoint, the highest adjusted efficiency margins going back to the start of KenPom's database, which is 97, this UConn team is fifth. The best team is 99 Duke, which ironically enough was beat by UConn 99, which I thought was the best UConn team, basically until I thought that this team needed to win the title to make it not even a question. But I actually thought it would have been an intriguing debate had they lost to Purdue in this game. Don't even need to worry about it. It's the best UConn team of all time. But that team beat Duke, which has the best efficiency margin. Number two is 01 Duke. Number three is 2015 Kentucky, which of course did not win the title. 2021 Gonzaga, which did not win the title. And then 2024 UConn finishes its season with a, let me bring this up for you, GP, real quick here, with a plus 36-43 efficiency margin. Purdue, by nature of its loss, actually is third at KenPom, and then Houston will finish second overall. But I think fairly, even though KenPom will disagree with its algorithm, Purdue will be remembered as the second best team. I would put this group, you know, that 2018 Villanova team was insanely good. 2012 Kentucky, 2015 Kentucky, 2009 Carolina, 2005 Carolina, the Florida teams. There's a lot of teams in there. So you can only
2008 Kansas.
2008 Kansas. You can only fit so many teams into that. But because this crew did not have an outright superstar, I think it's what's going to, in the moment, cause people to say, hold on, we're not going to overreact. Tristan Newton, first-team All-American. Tristan Newton, the seventh player ever to lead a team in scoring in title games in back-to-back seasons and the Final Four most outstanding player. I get it. He's not a razzle-dazzle, throwing it down, dunking it in your face kind of player, but he has been super reliable, and he is emblematic of the program that Dan Hurley has built, and it is so, 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 so very impressive. So I don't want to say – I don't want to hear that UConn didn't have a star. We could look up in 5 years and notice that every single starting player on this team is thriving in the NBA, and if anything, kind of like what's happened with the Villanova teams, those have aged even better because their pro careers have brought a brighter light to what they did in college, even though I'd argue that shouldn't have anything to do with it. This is an awesome team. They're awesome players. A couple more nuggets for you before we get out of here pretty soon here, GP. Credit to our CBS Sports research team on all of this stuff. So UConn, ninth time we've had a school win back-to-back titles. It's the fourth program with six titles. UCLA is 11. Kentucky is 8. And now UConn is tied with Carolina for 6 all-time. In a 25-year span, it's freaking ridiculous. It is ridiculous. UConn is 12-0 all-time in the Final Four, 6-0 in title games, 6-0 in national semifinals. It's got an 8-game winning streak in the Final Four, which is the third longest streak of all time. It has a 16-game winning streak in the Sweet 16 or later, which is the longest streak in the sport dating to 1975. And, oh, by the way, by getting to 37-3, now this is a function of college basketball modern scheduling, the only teams that have as many wins in a season to win it all, Kansas had 37-08, and then Kentucky in 2012 had 38. Also the first number one overall seed since Louisville and the fourth number one overall seed since this began in 04 to win it all. You keep on going down one thing after another, the accolades, they keep piling up, they pile up. It was a phenomenal game, a well-played game, and UConn and winning again. One last one for you here. It has won. Oh, two more for you. Three more for you. I lied. 12-0 against the spread in 12 straight NCAA tournament games. Has won 19 games as a program in neutral site events. That's insane. And it's the first team to actually win the title as the pre-tournament favorite since that great 2018 Villanova team. The party is on. Stores is going nuts. And Dan Hurley not getting comfortable with this. This is the way I ended my column. I was talking with him. So he had cut down the net. He had put the net around his neck, and he made his way from one end of the floor to the other. And as he's walking, like I'm kind of walking beside him because he's about to do my HQ interview on the floor with me. And then he asks, this is so emblematic of Hurley, man. This is, you want a snapshot in this guy's mind? First of all, he's just kind of talking. I didn't even ask him a question. He's just saying out loud. He's like, just trying to soak this in, man. Just soak it in. Like, it's wild. It's just, it's nuts. We did it again. And then there was a beat. And then there was a UConn staffer there. And he goes, where's the East Regional next year? And someone thinking maybe he thought the first site, they go, Providence first. Then what? Newark. Ah, Jersey. And he gives it a beat. And he goes, where's the Final Four? The point being this. He's going to soak in the celebration, but he is all of, I want to say Hurley was maybe 20 minutes removed from the clock at triple zeros, and he's already thinking aloud about the path for his team to make a three-peat. That's an insane ask because they're going to lose all these players, but that's who Dan Hurley is. And I'll close with this. I know, now I'm rambling. You were rambling, but I'm rambling. I'm trying to cram everything in here because you got KB tomorrow. Oh, by the way, amidst everything else that happened tonight, Dan Hurley clinched. I mean, it's clinched. He's going to join his father. He is going to the Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame. You win back-to-back championships, it'll have to take a while because you can no longer get in as an active coach. But he assured himself of basketball immortality by coaching the Huskies to consecutive national championships.
I don't know what it's like to be that great at anything, as great as he is at coaching basketball and running a college basketball program. But my understanding is that a lot of the greats, the people we put up on those pedestals, they think exactly that way. They're never satisfied with what they've done. They're always chasing the next thing. And that can be an unhealthy perspective on life in some areas of life. But, buddy, it can sometimes take you to great accomplishments in your chosen profession. And, you know, Dan is wired that way. And I actually find it interesting and I can appreciate it because I think it is among the things that makes him who he is. We should note that he did, after the game, at least in some ways, address the Kentucky opening and seemed to indicate, like, just stop it. And it never made any sense to me. Like, I don't know why you would run from where he is right now straight into whatever that is at Kentucky. Like, at some point you got to understand clearly he can do everything he needs to do at UConn in the Big East, and there's no reason to run to another place. But we are living in a day where Jay Wright has publicly indicated he will not be the next Kentucky coach. Nate Oates has publicly indicated he will not be the next Kentucky coach. And after the championship game, Dan Hurley indicated he will not be the next Kentucky coach. So this Kentucky search could get interesting. And we'll talk more about that on the 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, Ion College Basketball Podcast on Tuesday on CBS Sports Network. I do want to ask you about Purdue before we get out of here.
Sure.
Matt Painter said after last season that he knew he needed to get more athletic. And so, you know, they added Lance Jones, and by definition that made him more athletic. But tonight they've got these two guards. They were successful freshman guards, and now they're incredibly successful sophomore guards. Like, you might not find two guards who are as accomplished from a team perspective in their first 2 years of college basketball than Fletcher Loyer and Braden Smith, but they got embarrassed tonight. And I know Fletcher's got, you know, he's 6'4", but Braden's tiny. Lance Jones is only 6'1". It feels like if you're Matt Painter, you looked at last season and thought you did some of the things you needed to do to correct it, and it took you all the way to the title game, but eventually you ran into a team that's just bigger and more athletic on the perimeter, and they really made it tough for your
coming out of high school, non-McDonald's All-American, unheralded guard. This is my long-winded question. Does Matt Painter need to go back this summer? And I know this is crazy to think about, outright Big Ten title into the national championship game. But my fear with a forever Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer backcourt is that you're going to run into a team that's going to be able to physically overwhelm them at some point in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I got you. I'm going to answer you. I got a little bit of choppiness on the signal. Don't know if that's you or that's me. I don't think they're cutting off the internet, but we'll wrap up here real quick. I will say this. It's going to be a big offseason of development. I got a couple quick points on this. Miles Colvin, should he return for a sophomore season, he is 6'5", probably get his body up to 210. He'll be a factor, was a really, really good player. Dad was Roosevelt Colvin, who played for the Bears. So we'll see on that. Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer, going to continue to get better. I understand what you're saying. I don't deny that whatsoever. Lance Jones is a transfer. I suppose maybe he has one more year. I actually don't know if he does, but he had a lot of value there.
He's done.
He's done. Okay, so you lose Lance Jones. He did. He lost his this is his final year. Who they get in the portal will be interesting. Edie's gone. But, yes, does there need to be a tweak and adjustment with maybe some roster building? Sure, but I am not going to stray too far from the fact on two things. They faced the best team in the sport by far in the title game, okay? If it had not been UConn, this isn't a talking point. And two, consider Purdue's road to get there. Dominate a 16, you get past that whole headache. Just eviscerate the Mountain West champion, Utah State. Didn't even let Gonzaga have a hope in the Sweet 16. Tennessee was the genuine push. And then NC State, they won ugly, but they won 63-50. They got here with the method. Painter's a great coach. He's no less of a great coach because they just happened to run into a downright behemoth.
I think that's right. Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer have won back-to-back Big Ten outright titles as starting guards for Purdue. And they've now gone to a Final Four. They made it all the way to the championship game, just happened to run into, yes, a better team that happened to also be the best team in the country. It looks like you need to go.
We got shouts to Adi Joseph, our editorial director, who's been phenomenal on the ground here, so supportive, so helpful. He's coming over. Kyle Boone has called our ride. I got to get back to the hotel with you, GP. There might be a little, like a quick little if you want to meet me in the lobby for a quick little rendezvous before now, you're good. That was you. Hey, last night, this was me podcasting. You were downstairs. Boone was in the room. So now take that, strike it, reverse it, flip it. Not as there. So yes, we are going to wrap this up. Get on out of here. Cause as I know, we're not driving around the corner. We got a little bit of a ride to get back to the hotel. So we can call it a night here.
You have fun in the hotel lobby. I am not leaving this hotel room until I depart for the airport here in Phoenix to fly home tomorrow afternoon. If you're around the television tomorrow at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, me and Kyle Boone, Strong Jaw, will be back. Ion College Basketball Podcast live on CBS Sports Network. So we'll knock that out then. I hope you join us. Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Terry Teagle, Legend, Huck, Larnell. Thank you guys once again for watching, listening to the Ion College Basketball Podcast. If you're not subscribed, please go subscribe anywhere you can subscribe to podcasts, Apple, Spotify. There's more of us than there are of them. That should be reflected, and we will talk to you again real soon. Till then, take care. Hey there, it's Gary Parrish. Welcome back. CBS Sports Ion College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting. Dodo Birds.
Leaky Black.
Matt Norland is here with me.
I got Kyle Boone.
David Cobb is here with me.
Austin Chip Patterson, let's go, buddy. Look at this.
I'm gonna take UConn to go all the way. And we come downstairs, and I'm there, and Grant's already in the lobby, and he comes up to me. He's like, Ian, I just want to apologize. I said, for what? He said, I thought Jim Nance was doing the game, and he was staying under a pseudonym of Iron Eagle.
I mean, he came up big there.
Oh, boy, he scared the crap out of me. Chip Patterson came in here, cover three zone.
Hey, you too.
As we're talking, NC State.
Oh, no.
Okay.
See you.
What up, Anderson Cooper? Good one. First, one more word from our partners.
Nada, partners, I see you from a...
Why did you have to call Nada like that?
Did you? So hold on. I thought I was muted. Was I? Did you hear it or no?
Oh, buddy, everybody heard it.
What's up, Anderson Cooper?
What's up, Anderson Cooper? I learned this the other day. If you do a peace sign,
yeah. Okay.
Well, now it's not working.
Yeah. Now you're listening. You have no idea. We look ridiculous right now.
And then UConn did something you don't see every day, and that something was go on a 30-0 run over a span of 8 minutes, 8 seconds of game time. Strong jaw, on a scale of 1 to WTF, how would you rate UConn's performance against Illinois?
The chat wants to know, is Gary Parrish going to be the next head coach at Kentucky?
He will not be.
Gary Parrish has been silent.
GP was
hours.
Sources tell me Gary Parrish was checking out a Mumford & Sons concert on Sunday night, and that's why he wasn't able to get on this podcast, because there might have been an Uber backup situation. Will the game be decided by Klingon versus Edie? It is a good question, and it's one I'm going to answer after the break. But first, hey, Nada, can you hear me? Can I get a word from Nada? A word from
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.